Thank God it's settled. Wasn't just swept under the rug. It's settled. Amen. My account's clean. I like what Brother Hall said in Sunday school this morning. He was using that text about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5 and how that the fountain of her issue was dried up. And he alluded that to the fact that Jesus, when he saved us, went back to the source. Amen. Saved us all the way back. Amen. Thank God for all of our sins. Thank God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 is where I'm going to take my text. I'm sorry, I said 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where I'm going to take my text from this morning. And I bring the thought that's on my heart. Amen. And I appreciate the good Spirit of God. Amen. The liberty and the Spirit of God, the opportunity to be able to be here. Amen. Amen. And while you're finding your place too, let me say a word. I knew that God had blessed the state of Kentucky with a good governor. Really, blessed us with a governor. I didn't know how good until I read just this week that our governor has effectively shut down every abortion clinic in the state but one. And it was scheduled to close tomorrow. But the ACLU has got a judge to prop it up at least till May. And they've got it propped open until May. But they're just saying that places that do medical things ought to at least be sanitary. Right. They're not shutting them down by making abortion illegal. They're just saying you ought to be clean and you ought to have decency about some things. Right. And I appreciate our governor taking that stand. Amen. And in a sense, quietly, of course, you know the abortionists are rising up about it. You probably heard that there's a man and a woman that was doing some of that secret videotaping and all that. They had been charged in Texas with several charges. They threw it out of court. Last week, they were arrested again and charged with 15 counts of felonies in the state of California. The appeals court just this latter part of the week upheld that. And so they're going to be tried for a felony for videotaping people making comments about selling baby body parts and things like that. They're not upset about them killing babies. They're upset about them taping somebody and them not knowing they were taped. One of the women that they had taped, she was a black nurse and was joking and laughing about the fact that she was glad for some of the acid drugs. They use initials, acid drugs that they have that eats away at the skin of the baby, because she said it's hard to chop their arms off. It's hard. She said it works on your biceps, chopping their legs off. And she is laughing and giggling about that. And they didn't arrest her. They arrested the people that taped her saying that. Something wrong somewhere. One man made this comment, and he's right. If she'd been talking about chopping up a puppy, she'd be in jail today. Amen. If that was a kitten and she was getting it ready for the Chinese food place, she'd be in jail. Amen. But because it's a baby, nothing said. We got to watch them and protect their rights. Lord, help us. Amen. We ought to pray for our governor. Amen. We ought to pray for our governor. We ought to pray for our land, our president. Amen. Those in authority. God said we should. Amen. All right. And by the way, I said the other day I was preaching and dealing with as a pastor that I'm going to give an account of how that I pastor you. I'm going to give an account for you. Did you know those men, our governor, our leaders, they're going to give an account how they took their job serious or not. Amen. And what they did or didn't do. Amen. When government will clamp down on crime, if I can say it this way, when government will just judge, God sends mercy. But when government is too merciful, they let everything go, God sends judgment. And that's what's happening in our nation. Amen. So it's happening. All right, I didn't mean to get off there, but that's where we're at. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. I'll read these first 8 verses if you'll read along with us. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please?
Father, we're so thankful this morning for this great
privilege. Yes, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God.
God and Timothy. Thank you, Lord, for dear Brother Paul and his
obedience,
his faithfulness. To set aside time, Lord, to spend with you, that you might convey to him great truths that would be preached.
Yes.
Even in the hour that we're living.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray you're blessed to preach your now. Take that word, Lord, and use it to penetrate and prick our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Save sinners by your marvelous grace, strengthen and bless and help the people of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. I'm probably not going to get out of the first verse this morning, but I studying this, and really I had a thought on my mind. And as I got to studying it yesterday, I got bogged down with this first verse. And so hopefully it won't be bogging to you, but it'll be something that'll be helpful to you. So I'm going to just preach the first point of the thought that I have in my message today. Paul starts out in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me say this before we say Paul. These are not just the words of Paul. This is the Word of God. God used Paul. It's interesting how God used men just like we'd use a pen. God told them what to say. They didn't say just what they wanted. They said what God told them to say. I believe they even used the very words God wanted them to use. But in the midst of that, somehow, a pen does not have a personality, but people do. God's great power, He's able to instill or allow to be instilled some of the personality of the writer. When you read, you can tell a difference in Peter's writing and Paul's writing. Luke's writing. I mean, you can tell a difference in the men that wrote the Scriptures. And yet, it's all the Word of God. They agree. They go hand in hand because each of them were pens in the hand of a holy God. Amen. Used to write God's Word. But I appreciate what Paul did in this. And so I'll keep alluding to Paul. But I want you to realize that we're talking about the Word of God. So Paul says in verse number 1, I charge thee. That's Timothy. He's making this charge to him. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. I'm going to stop right there. And I want to preach this morning on this thought, the serious charge to preach the Word. The serious charge to preach the Word. Now, I realize we do have preachers in the congregation. I'm glad for that. Amen. I think we've got four preachers besides myself. We've got Joshua, Brother Hall, Brother Bale, and Brother Kuhn, thank you. I want to say Brother Rudd because I think of you through him because that's how I met you. But Brother Kuhn is with us this morning as well. So we got these four preachers besides myself, and maybe God's hand may be on somebody else. Maybe already made a calling or may make a calling one of these days. I'm not trying to call you. I'm just saying we don't know what God's going to do. But I'm glad that He makes this charge. But I don't believe it is just two preachers, but for everybody to recognize how important and how serious that charge is that the gospel be preached around the world. Amen. This is the final chapter, the final book that Paul the Apostle would write under the inspiration of God. Now, it's not the last one in the canon. You've got Titus, and then I personally believe that he wrote Hebrews as well. But this is his, as far as the timeline, this was the last book. And when you read it, he's ready to be offered. Now, I know there's some people that say that Paul lived years and years and years after this and that the Jews actually never killed Paul, but that they've got their whole doctrine built on some things there and different ideas that the Romans, I mean, actually never killed Paul, they say. But it looks to me like in the Scripture, and I believe history is right, that Paul is headed towards Nero's chopping block. He's going to lay his life down for the gospel's sake, and he's about to be a martyr. Amen. And so with this being considered, the fact this is, these are the great words of God dictated by the pen of the famed apostle to the Gentiles. And so these are the last words of this faithful and fervent servant of the Lord, this man of God. Thomas Hall was a great English Presbyterian pastor, and born 1610 and died in 1665. He was the uncle of the famous Bishop Hall from Bristol, England. Not Bishop Hall here, but Bishop Hall in Bristol, England, was his nephew. He termed this, he said this was Paul's most beautiful and sweetest song. Amen. And so this is his final words. Some people have called it Paul's swan song as he's ending his life. But in this, God is allowing the apostle, if I could say it this way, to leave with Timothy, his son in the faith, what I would call his last will and testament. He wants Timothy to inherit something, and what it is, he wants him to inherit the charge to keep on keeping on. In spite of the fact that it's almost time for Paul to go and fade off the scene, in spite of the fact that troubles come, and they're not only coming, but they're going to get bigger troubles and worse troubles than we've ever faced, Paul wants Timothy to keep on preaching the Word of God. This is not just a charge from Paul, but again, it's a charge from God Himself. Amen. This initial charge is to preach the Word. It's given for a purpose. Notice verse number 1. I charge thee therefore. So there is a purpose in this charge. Paul didn't just randomly come up with this, or it wasn't just randomly given, but it's there for a purpose. I believe to know what it's there for, you got to look back. And in the previous chapter, you would see in verse number 1 that there's difficult days that are coming on the horizon. He called it perilous times. Amen. That shall come, and that they are come, by the way. Amen. They are come. He also, I believe, wrote this charge not just because we're living in dark days, but because evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, as you see down there in verse number 13 of chapter number 3. And then he also tells Timothy, not only because we're in a dark day, and not only because men are going to get worse, but also because, Timothy, you've got a perfect Bible. You've got an infallible, inspired, inerrant Bible, and you know that Bible, and therefore you ought to use that Bible to help people. Amen. I'm telling you, we're living in those days. We can surely complain about the darkness of the days. We can complain about the devilishness of men. But thank God I've got a divinely inspired, perfect Bible still to this day. Amen. And because of that, we need to be preaching the Word. Amen. Amen. Now, certainly we can all draw inference from these facts, as Timothy did, that we need to be presenting the gospel to sinners. We need to be diligent about doing that. We need to not only tell them, but we need to show them. We need to live a godly life. Paul talked to Timothy not only about what he said, but how he lived, what he showed in his life. And we could see that as well. And it's not just, again, not just for preachers, but every one of us have a responsibility of telling others about Jesus and showing them by our lifestyle that we might point them to Jesus before that it is too late. Now, I believe this conviction that Paul had here is that he's passing on to Timothy is further sealed in the scripture that I read to you in these first 8 verses. Notice first of all that Paul uses 4 points of argument. I'll throw these out and then I'll just preach to you from verse number 1. These 4 points in chapter 4 verses 1 and 2, Paul tells us there's a judgment day coming in which we're going to give an account of our stewardship unto Christ. Therefore, we ought to be faithful in our master's service. Amen. There is a judgment day coming, and so therefore we ought to stay faithful. Secondly, Paul argues that since these are the last days, verses 3 and 4, and they're going to get worse and worse, then we ought to be diligent in our personal service unto the Lord. Amen. We ought to be careful about our own self, that we don't allow our own self to get caught up in this itching ears business that wants to be entertained. Listen, we've come to a day when singing in churches is nothing more than entertainment, and sometimes preaching in church is nothing more than entertainment. Coming to the house of God to see what's going to be said or to see what's going to be done. God deliver us from such as that. Amen. Amen. We got to ask God to help us that we don't get these itching ears, because you get itching ears, it'll turn you away from the truth and it'll turn you unto fables. Amen. I read where one man made this comment. He said the Greek word there. Oh, it was Brother James Jones. I was trying to remember who it was said it. Brother James Jones said that the Greek word there about turning their ears, that word turning is a perpetual turning. It's like a windmill that just keeps turning, keeps turning. And the truth can't get in because they keep turning their ears. The truth will never get in because they keep turning their ears. But when you turn your ears away from the truth, God turns your ears to fables. And it's amazing what people will believe when they turn away from God. And so we've got to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to get itching ears, and that we don't ourselves get weary with sound doctrine. Amen. Go chasing after novelty, chasing after vain opinions of men, and those are found in verses 3 and 4. And then the third argument is, it's found in verses 5 and 6, because of the shortness of this life, because of the limited time of our enlistment. We are enlisted in the Lord's service as a good soldier. We are called to be a soldier of the Lord. And we've got a certain amount of time. We've got a limited time that we can serve Him. Therefore, we ought to be busy about our labors for the Lord. Amen. And then number 4, because of the faithfulness of those gone before. Paul talks about himself, verses 7 and 8. I personally have fought a good fight. That's what he's saying. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord of the righteous judge shall give me at that day. But I'm glad he says, and not to me only. He's saying to Timothy, Timothy, you stay in here too. You stay in the saddle. You keep your feet in the stirrups. You keep on serving God. Keep your hand to the plow. Keep on doing what God said do. And there's a reward for you as well. Amen. And so we need to be careful that in these days, there's been others that's gone before us that have been faithful. They have laid down the line. They have cleared the path. They have given us this opportunity to serve God. Amen and amen. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We ought to just step up there and keep on going. Don't detour. Don't get diverted. Don't get sidelined. Just keep on pressing on for the glory of God. Amen. Now, having said that, I want to look back at verse number 1 and go down through these verses just a little bit. And I'll not be real long if the Lord will help me to stay on target. I'll be honest with you, my heart gets in this because God deals with me about these things. And as He's dealing with me, then it gets to be a burden. Amen. And sometimes you want to elaborate on it maybe more than is needful. So I'll try my best to be careful about that. But look at verse number 1, and I'll just keep reading over this phrase. I want the first part, underline these words. I charge thee therefore before God. And I stop right there. I charge thee therefore before God. He's talking about this charge of preaching. You see that in verse number 2? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, he's saying, Timothy, you preach the word whether they like it or they don't like it. Whether they're opening doors or slamming doors, you just keep on preaching the word of God. Amen. He said, when you're preaching, you got to cover a gamut. You got to cover a wide range. You got to reprove and rebuke and exhort. And you got to do it all with long suffering and doctrine. He's just got to stay true to the word of God. That's what Paul's telling Timothy in this. Amen. And so he's talking about preaching. And I want to point out not just preaching, but I want everybody to say, Lord, what's in it for me? Well, you ought to esteem that preaching position as a important place, and you ought to honor God with that. But at the same time, we've got the responsibility of sharing the gospel. That's not preaching, but it is sharing and witnessing the gospel, and we have that responsibility. Amen. Now, first of all, this thing I see in this, I charge thee. When you're charged, that's not usually something you take lightly. Somebody says, what are the charges? They're not asking how much does it cost. That, you might do that in a restaurant, but when you're in a courtroom situation, what are the charges? This is what's said about them. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, this is what's on your record. This is what's written down about you. You are to preach the word. So he gave this solemn charge. So I'll just say this thing about preaching is not to be taken lightly. It's not that we say, well, here's my favorite preacher, and I just soon not hear this preacher. It's not the preacher we ought to be enthused about. It ought to be the preaching of the word of God that ought to get our mind. Amen. It's not the instrument, but it is the fact of what's going out, the truth that's going forth, that ought to be what gets our attention. Now, I have styles that I like, or the way that people do that appeals to me, different than other people's, maybe their delivery style. I understand that. But again, I want to go back to the fact, don't consider preaching to be something not important. It is very important. Amen. Amen. Paul saw it that way. So I'll say, preaching is not just an occupation. Preaching's a calling. Turn, if you will, back to Matthew chapter number 4. And I'll show you, I could show you a lot, but I'll show you just Matthew 4. Our Lord called some men. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 down through verse 21. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know what he did right there? He changed their occupation. They were fishers. Nothing wrong with fishers. Nothing wrong with that occupation. But God called these men to another job. And follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Look at verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And look at this phrase. And he called them. What did he call them? He called them exactly like he called the other fellas. Fellas, I'm about to change your life. Fellas, I'm about to change the direction of your life. Fellas, I'm about to change the occupation of your life. I am giving you something to do. By the way, not that these men could never fish again. There's coming another time when Jesus sent Peter specifically to fish, to go down there and catch that fish that had a coin in its mouth. You remember that story? But it's not that he could never go back to that, but that he was giving him a higher calling. He was giving him a job to do that was higher than that. So can I say this? That the call to preach is not a call from mama or daddy or grandma or grandpa. It's not even a call from the local church that the local church placed on you. By the way, God calls preachers, the church calls deacons. No such thing as a God called deacon. Church calls them. Amen. But there's no such thing as a man called preacher if he's really a preacher. He's God called. Amen. Amen. It's the Lord Himself that places that call. So I'll say it is a high and a holy calling placed upon a man to be a preacher of the Word of God. Amen. It is first and foremost a call to follow Christ. That's what He did with these men. You see that? He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. How are they going to become fishers of men? They're going to follow the Lord. Amen. You're not called to follow your agenda. You're not called to follow your preferment, what would make you better. You're not called to follow your ideas. You're called to follow Him, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're taken from the business world. Again, not that you can't be in the business world. Paul worked when he had to work and labored with his hand. Amen. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Nothing ashamed or shameful about that, I don't believe, whatsoever. But it does not take precedence. There is a business higher than the business world. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He's called you to another business, the business of preaching the Word of God. Amen. And in order to do that, we've got to be close to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes even worldly business that is not sinful can tend to be entangling, can tend to wrap its tentacles around us. And Paul told Timothy, as a good soldier, not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. Be careful about that, that you're able to be set free to declare the Word of God. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 6, you don't have to turn because you know that verse very well. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I love to study about John the Baptist. Amen. Amen. I love to study about John the Baptist. He was a great man. He was a man sent from God. You can tell from that text that John the Baptist was a man that did not get to choose his occupation. But he was called of God and was sent from God to preach repentance and to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So often we think in order to be sent of God means we got to go to some foreign place or some foreign people. John didn't go to a foreign place. He didn't go to a foreign people. But he had a specific call. God sent him to a specific place and he sent him with a specific message. Amen. And that's how it is in our life. I believe that's right. God has a purpose for us. And when He calls us, He will send us with that calling. God's got a place. He's got a people. He's got a preaching that He wants done. And so God calls men and God sends them to do that. John not only didn't get to choose his occupation, he didn't get to choose his place of service. God chose it for him. Amen. It was chosen in his calling. John didn't get to choose his message. It was chosen in his calling. Amen. Amen. Well, turn to Acts chapter number 13. I'll show you some more things about the calling of God. Acts chapter 13 is a calling and sending to strange places and strange people. Acts 13. The calling of God upon a man is that man serve him. Amen. Look at verse 2, chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now they'd already been called to preach. Amen. They'd already been charged with doing a labor for God and were doing that. But He specifically called them for a specific thing. God separating men from their positions, even sometimes in that local church, for the point of putting them forth that they might do another work for the ministry in the direction God wants them to go. Now look at Acts chapter number 16. I found this interesting. Acts 16. I'd read it 100 times and never saw it like this. Acts 16 verses 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering, look at this, that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Amen. Already called again. Now they're called again. God's got a place, a purpose, a people, a preaching that He wants done. Amen. And when He calls that call, we need to respond to Him. Amen. In Acts 16, God has directed them. He's redirecting them. He's showing them the specific direction that He wants Paul and those that went with him to go in that direction. And finally, in Romans chapter number 1, as I said, there's others, but Romans chapter number 1, Paul starts out, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So you see his calling and his sending and his separation. You see it all right in there that Paul was called of God. Paul didn't just decide to be an apostle. Paul didn't just decide to be a preacher. Paul didn't do it because grandma said it or mama said it or somebody else said it. Paul, listen, sometimes I'm afraid some young men might get on fire for God, and sometimes people in the church, meaning well, they push that young man into the ministry. If that's what God wants, hallelujah to God. But in most cases, I think we'd do well to be quiet about what we might feel like and just pray that if God is calling them, He'll show them. He don't need to show me and you. He needs to show them. And then when He shows them, if God has called them, it will become obvious to everybody else. I believe that. Amen. Amen. Old time Baptists, they talked about discovering a gift. They talked about that when that call to preach, they discover a gift and they'd go to preaching. They'd let them preach for a while before they'd license them. And then they'd let them preach for a good while before they ordained them because they wanted to see if they had that calling on their life. Amen. Amen. Well, nothing wrong with all that. So Paul was called. I'm just simply saying this is a solemn call. A solemn call. Come back to my text in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul talked about being called to be an apostle. He said that those same words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1. Other places he talked about being an apostle born out of due season. But I'm going back to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy verse 1. I charge thee, I'm going to go just a little bit further. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This call to preach, I said, is a serious call. Paul knew, as he's writing this letter, that the duty of preaching encounters difficulty many times. It may encounter difficulty. It may encounter quite a lot of difficulty. Brother Moyes, that I preached for this week, said that when he was in college, he dropped out of speech class 4 years in a row when it would come up time to make public speech because he did not want to do that. He was fearful of standing before people. I've heard others make comments such as that. Amen. The point I'm trying to make is this. That's a difficulty getting past yourself, getting past the fear of man. Amen. You say, you ought not be afraid of it. You ever looked at faces like out here in this congregation? But the fear of making a failure in your own when you realize I can't do this. This is a higher calling than I can do. I might be a little lad with a few fishes and a few loaves, but what is this among so many? How can God use all this and feed and accomplish all that needs to be done? By the way, it'd be impossible, humanly impossible, for a man in his own wisdom and in his own ability, I don't care how able he is, to sit down and write out a sermon or prepare a message that would meet the need of everybody sitting in the congregation. And those that are listening, but I'm telling you, the power of God is able to do just that because God knows every intricate detail about every one of us, thank God. Amen. And He's able. It's not me. Amen. It's not another preacher. It's God that does that. Thank God it is. But there's difficulties to face. And I'm just talking about those in your own life. But then there's other difficulties that may be. And I don't have time to go into those. But Paul knew that there was many difficulties. Paul knew there may be many dangers. Amen. Many dangers because of the preaching of the Word of God. And yet Paul wanted to let Timothy know this is a calling with dignity. It's not just difficulty. It's not just dangerous. But it's a call with dignity. Amen. God has entrusted us with this grace. That's what Paul talked about. God, thank God for calling me and counting me faithful. That's what Paul said. Putting me in the ministry. Amen. It is a call with dignity. It is a high calling. It is a holy calling. Amen. Since this calling is so high and holy, God inspired Paul to issue a solemn and serious charge upon Timothy. And by the way, anybody else involved in this holy calling. In this, he wishes to rouse up feelings of devotion in Timothy. Feelings of dedication in Timothy. feelings of discipline in Timothy. Can I tell you, friend, if God has called us to preach, I'll say this to us five men that God has called, we better be very careful how we discipline our own life. I just heard last Sunday, a preacher that I know and others know that just resigned his church because he got involved in sin and that sin has contaminated him. He's going to hopefully hold his home together, but he'll never be right standing in the pulpit again because he has disqualified himself. I've seen God on that man. I know God has used that man before in the past, but he allowed himself to be disqualified. And the sword stripped out of his hand because he wouldn't discipline himself. Amen. I'm telling you, this calling, it ought to charge us. It ought to put fear in us. I'll just be honest with you. It ought to put fear in us. Amen. Amen. Well, didn't mean to go into that, but that's right. We got to have some discipline, reminding us that we are called by God for this service. We are called for God. This service is not for me, it's for Him. And we are called before God. One of these days we're going to be called before Him to give an account of what we've done with the talent that He's given us. If I could say it that way, the treasure that He's given us in this earthen vessel. Amen. We're going to give an account of the service that is rendered unto Him. Amen. Can I tell you, these ain't in my notes, but I'm still there, so I better go ahead and do it while I feel like God's on me to do it. We're living in a day, it's never been easier to sin than it is this day. Amen. Never been easier. Probably back in the frontier lands, days of our country, men worked on the farm and they may not see another woman other than their wife and children for weeks. Now you can see them without anything on with just a click. Amen. Now we've got sin and possibility. And by the way, not just that men are wickeder, women are wickeder too. There's a lot of them leaving their doors open and purposefully doing that. Amen. They've left the light on for you. Amen. So what are we going to do? We better discipline ourselves. We better be careful that we realize the dignity of this calling, that we realize the danger of this calling. Amen. And discipline ourselves. Determine, I'm going to make the Lord a good soldier. Amen. Amen. We can be like Uriah. He said, I am not going to defile myself. I'm not going to live the life of luxury and ease when my brethren are in the battlefield in the heat of the battle. There was nothing wrong with him going home to his wife. Nothing wrong with that. But he said, I'm not going to entangle myself with it because of the honor I have for the men that's still in the battle. Amen. Sin comes most of the time. Usually sin don't attack us when we're in the heat of the battle. But it attacks us when we're at leisure. When we're getting our breathing, it seems like. When it seems like things are going all right, then the devil will offer us another opportunity. If we're not careful, we'll fall. Amen. Amen. This fact that he said, we'll look at it, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this phrase. Who shall judge? Who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom? Amen. We're reminded that our service is going to be reviewed one day. Our service is going to be rewarded one day. Amen. But it's going to be reviewed and rewarded by none other than the Lord Jesus Himself. Amen. Amen. He it is that gave us this talent. He it is that loaned us this treasure. And He's going to come one day and tally it up and see what have we done with what He has given us, what He has entrusted in our care. Turn back to Acts chapter 20. That's what this makes me think of. This that has been entrusted in our care. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Two things I want you to notice there. He gives them, telling them to take heed unto yourselves. Amen. Not just be watching for sin from them, and we are. As a watchman, we gotta be careful that we're looking out for them. But what good's a watchman that's asleep on the job? He's gotta keep himself alert. He's gotta keep himself aware that the enemy may be just out there, just out of sight, and creeping in at any moment, at the most unexpected and inopportune time. Amen. So he's gotta watch himself. But he said, when you watch yourself, watch the flock, be careful, and feed the flock. That's a job. But here's what he said. He said that the Holy Ghost, isn't that what he said? The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He has entrusted you with these people. He has entrusted you with this job. He has entrusted you with this business of preaching the Word of God. You ought to be careful how you handle it. And the last phrase he said that he purchased with his own blood. That's how precious they were to him. Amen. He purchased these people with his own blood. Purchased this crowd with his own blood. Our Lord takes serious the work of the ministry. Amen. Amen. He takes serious the work of the ministry that he has given us to do. He counts precious the flock that he has sent us to minister unto. Therefore, we ought to do our best. Amen. We had best do our best. I believe that's right. Amen. We ought to treat the work of God seriously and serve the people of God sincerely. Amen. When I think about the apostle here that he's led to tell Timothy this phrase, I'm going back now, that he said, I charge thee therefore before the Lord, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just that, he's charging us before Jesus. I'm reminded that he, the Lord Jesus, is our master. He is our commander in chief. Amen. He's the one that gives the command. He's the one that is our leader. Therefore, he commands our respect. He commands our diligent service. Amen. He has the right to ask us to do anything. He has the right to put us in any place. He has the right to move us at any time. He has the right to do whatever he wants to, whatever he wills. We're to serve him at his whim and his wish. Amen. Whatever he wants, we're to be that servant. He commands our respect, our loyal service. But I not only think about the fact that he's so high and holy, but I think about how much he loved me. And what he's done for me. And how could I do anything less than my best in serving him? Amen? Amen. How could you dare shirk the responsibility that God has given you when he carried the cross all the way? Amen. Was said, and I don't want to, no shame at all on Brother Moyes and the church where we was at this last week. But Brother Moyes told me that they got good people. And it's not a shame on the people other than just a shame how humans do. This is a new church plant. They need to be on fire. They just got a new building. God sent in $95,000 to help them get in that building. They ought to be excited. They ought to want to sit on the pews every day of the week. Amen. Amen. But he said he's never had a meeting that everybody didn't miss at least one night sometime. But it happened, and Brother Hall and Joshua was there on Thursday night, that they all missed the same night. There's about as many there on Thursday as there was on Wednesday because they had visitors. But they only had one member besides Brother Moyes and his family, one lady that's been with him from the start, an elderly lady that doesn't get around good, but she was faithful. Amen. And a little girl that they pick up on the bus was there. Amen. Nobody else. And one family did call in and tell them. Others didn't say nothing. And by the way, he told me, he said, if they got a reason, usually they'll call and tell me. But if they don't call, I know it's because they don't have a reason. But he said, this one family that did call in, you know what they said? We're tarred. I want to ask you a question. When they took our Lord and tied him to that post and ripped his back off of his body, the flesh from his body. The blood flowed. They beat him with a reed. And they laid that cross on his shoulder. You reckon he's tired? Sure he was tired. Sure he was weary. Sure he was weak. Sure he'd rather be somewhere else. Amen. But he put one foot after the other in a bloody footprint and walked all the way up Calvary's Hill for me and you, praise God. And so that means we ought to serve him when we're tired. That means we ought to serve him when we don't want to serve him. It means we ought to serve him when we'd rather be somewhere else. We ought to just keep putting one foot in front of another foot and follow those bloody foot tracks all the way. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. I ought to serve him with dignity. I ought to serve him with determination. I ought to serve him with delight. His love requires no less. Amen. Amen. He says in verse number 1 again, I charge thee therefore before God. I want to go back to this. You notice he says God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul makes these serious charges upon those that are called to preach the word. He invokes not only the name of the Lord Jesus, but he invokes the name of God. Jesus ought to be an incentive, but God the Father ought to be an incentive. Because when you think of this, Jesus sought always to please the Father. Amen. That's what he came for. He said in John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Amen. Luke 22:42, he's in the garden saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Everything Jesus did, he did to honor the Father. Hey, how can I shame Jesus? And how can I bring shame upon Jesus when he reports to the Father? I want to bring him a good report that he can say something good about me and it'll reflect on him. Amen. I don't want to dishonor my Lord Jesus, and I don't want to dishonor his Father. Amen. After all that he's done for me, when we dishonor one, we actually dishonor both. Amen. Oh, how serious this charge to give out the Word of God to this generation. I'll close with this one last thing. Again, I notice that he charged us before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow me to point out the fact, finally, that the Holy Ghost that inspired this epistle of Paul the Apostle did not issue this charge in the name of a man or in the name of an angel. No. He issued this serious charge in the supreme name. That name which is above every other name. Amen. The name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had this charge been issued in the name of some great men, it would have carried some weight. Amen. There's men that have invested in me that I wouldn't want to let down. I'm thinking right now of an old preacher back home. We got to see him when we was there at the wedding. Joshua remembers Big Clyde Smith. He's in his 80s. Him and his wife just celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary back in December. Big Clyde's getting Alzheimer's. They call him Big Clyde. He's about 6'6". Used to be a real healthy man. He's slim now, but he's still tall. Got a deep bass voice. Big Clyde, as a young preacher, Big Clyde would let me come up and preach for him when he pastored White Oak, when I wasn't preaching anywhere. I didn't have, just seemed like I was chomping at the bits to preach and didn't have doors open. Big Clyde to have me up to preach. Big Clyde would give me things. He's all the time giving me Sword of the Lords and tracts and different kinds of literature. He's the first fellow gave me the Plains Baptist Challenge from down in Lubbock, Texas. Amen. And I got to reading some of those things and gleaning and learning some things. Some things you learn to do, some things you learn not to do. Amen. Big Clyde, one, I think it was a Wednesday night, might have been a Sunday night. One service time, Big Clyde asked me to come up there. This is right after I started pastoring, I believe. Anyway, Big Clyde had me come up there sometime and preach for them. And at the close of the service, and they didn't have but a handful that night. I think it was Wednesday night because they had Sunday morning crowd and didn't have very many Sunday night and even less on Wednesday. Mountain church, mountain people. Big Clyde had me come preach. When I got done preaching, felt like a failure. Because I said, "Preacher, do you have Oliver B. Green's commentaries?" I said, "Well, no, I've only got one. I've got his commentary on the book of Hebrews." And he said, "Well, you know what?" He said, "I knew God was in it." He said, "I got the complete set except for the book of Hebrews." And he had them in the trunk of his car. And he gave them to me. They're in the office in there now. Amen. I said that for this. I wouldn't want to stand in judgment and let Big Clyde Smith down. He invested in me. Amen. He not only put money in me, he put love in me. He instilled, he's prayed for me. Amen. Over and over again. I know he has. And I've experienced some of that. You think about other men. And I'll say, church, we got Brother Hall sitting over here. He has invested a lifetime in this church. I'm telling you, if God had chosen to name a man that was a great man, that charge would have had power. But he chose not to choose men. He went above men's names. Because men are fallible. Men have failures. He chose to issue this charge in the name of one that has no failures, no fallibility. Amen. He chose to issue this not in the name of a man, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God. Even angels. Angels are powerful beings. Angels are holy beings. I picture angels with dignity. And yet God didn't choose one of them to give us the charge by. Because they didn't have enough power. They didn't have enough authority. They didn't have enough dignity to give out the charge. He chose someone with all power. Amen. Someone with all authority. Someone with all dignity. The right to be worshipped. Hallelujah. Amen. And he chose them and that name, the name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I thought about this. When you look at the face of an angel, I don't know what the face of an angel looks like other than what the Bible says, but they have a fierce countenance, the Bible talks about. A fierce countenance. One you don't fool with. You don't go up laughing and joking to them. Serious. Because you look at them and some of them said they had a countenance as of lightning. Them angels. But can you imagine when we stand before the Lord at the judgment and look Him eyeball to eyeball, face to face, it's going to be more severe than that angel. The angels will fade back into the background. And we'll face Him face to face and look into His awe-inspiring face, the countenance of God. And the countenance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm saying that's how important this thing of preaching is. God called us. Amen. God's given us this opportunity. In this dark and dying world we're living in, maybe if God's not called you to preach, He's rescued from sin. The same Jesus that saves the preacher saves a little boy. He saves a little girl. He saves a mom and dad. He saves whosoever gets saved. Jesus does the saving. And you owe Him your life. You owe Him your service. Amen. You owe Him to be telling others about Him. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. And they're coming with a song. When we see Him, we'll look into those eyes of fire, the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. The voice that calls to us that day will be the same voice that thundered from Mount Sinai and gave the commandments to Moses. It'll be the same voice that thundered at the beginning and caused light to be separated from the darkness. God's called us to a holy calling. What are we going to do about it? Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for Your Word. Help us, dear God. Please guard us from looking at preaching or singing or serving God as any kind of entertainment. Help us, Lord, not to look at it as something that we can take or leave. But Lord, help us to recognize how holy these things are. How important and precious these things are. Oh, Lord, help us to glorify You with our life. Those of us men that are called, that have accepted and announced the calling, Lord, I pray, keep us faithful unto the end. Help us, dear God, recognize how precious this thing is. How important this thing is. Help us to serve You with discipline. Help us to keep ourselves under ourselves. Keep our eyes on ourselves. Keep ourselves alert and aware and awake. That we can warn others, but that we can be alert. That we'll see the enemy and not be taken captive by him at his will. Oh Lord, I pray You'd help us to discipline ourselves. I pray you'd help us to serve you with determination. And Lord, I pray you'd help us serve you with dignity to bring you the honor and the glory you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen. While we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, if you're not saved, it'd be a good time to get saved. If you are saved, you ought to be serving the Lord. While we sing, do what He says.